Because the truth is, everything, mountain of fire, we see in the scripture is deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. In case you have access to Dr. Luke Hoyer, go and tell him the manifestation of the sons of God shall be in the millennium. Hallelujah. While you go fasting and praying for anointing, please fast and pray for understanding. Apostles are having girlfriends and anointing is increasing. It's a mystery. Arranging prophecies are going on in the name of the Lord. Arranging miracles are going on in the name of the Lord. Familiar spirits were following Apostle Paul one day. Apostle Paul rebuked the spirit. But now familiar spirits are general overseers of the church of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. If you are homosexual, you are a lesbian, don't accept any sermon that is how God made you. God did not make you like that. Satan corrupted the first creation. That's why you must be born again. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The power to make you a child of God is a power that transforms a sinner to a saint. It's a power of transformation. The power of conversion. Can we pick a text? Let's stand up, as our tradition is, and pick a text. From Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 and verse 19. Romans chapter 8. Can we stand up as we pick a text? Romans chapter 8, verse 18 and verse 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hey. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Chapter 9, Romans. Verse 6 and verse 7. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Salvation is mysterious. As we continue with our review of the bride and the denominations, who they are, that helps us generally to understand the mystery of salvation. Where Apostle Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. The same Apostle Paul has so much depth of the revelation of salvation, the depth of the mystery of salvation, that he concluded, if the princes of this world had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God has hidden this to wise and prudent, the wise of this world, and has chosen to reveal it to us by his Spirit. And I quickly want to add that these revelations are not to make us puff up. These revelations we have, every depth of revelation is to make you a better Christian. It's to give you reason to hold on to the cross. It's to give you reason to hold unto this God of Israel as we know him today. The depth of revelation is to know you, to make you know where you stand to give you reason to continue no matter what you go through. Like Abraham, who had a revelation of a city that God promised him, whose builder and maker is certainly not a man from what he saw. He looked forward to it, and because of it, it reflected in the lifestyle. Just like Daniel, in captivity, by revelation, he understood by books what the prophecy said concerning their return back to their homeland. And by the time he discovered the books, by the books, that it was remaining only 2 years according to the prophecy, it certainly reflected on the type of lifestyle he had while in captivity, while a slave, while in Babylon. I keep stressing this. We keep going into the depth of this revelation. It's not for us to be proud that we know something that others don't know. It's to give us a reason to live a life that will reflect that revelation. If we believe that this rapture is going to take place soon, if we believe it, that very soon when we go home, it will reflect in the way we live our lives on earth here. That is the truth. A man that has been given 3 months to live by doctors, confirmed that you cannot live, you have only 3 months to die, his mind will be more on life after death than life here. Because he believed the report of the doctors. This world will soon fold up. This world will soon fold up. And it is going to fold up. This same sermon has been going on for almost 2,000 years. And it looks as if it will not happen. Brethren, it will happen. Now, by revelation and by books, we are able to establish that this thing will end. And it will end in our generation. It is supposed to end in the seventh church age. And this is the seventh church age. And this revelation that it will end in the seventh church age was not revealed to any age. It was revealed to the age that we see the end. Our age. That's why don't bother to go to any bookshop. There is no book that speaks about the rapture in the bookshop. Because God himself has reserved this for only those who will go. Amen. And we are supposed to live a life reflecting it. That is the interesting thing. And unfortunately, it is very difficult to achieve that. Very, very difficult to achieve it. I was coming to church and discussing with my wife, and we noted something I've been saying here, that there are certain people that are in this church, and I'm telling you, they are not part of the reason for God establishing this ministry. Everyone is here connected to this ministry for various reasons. I'm stressing this as we continue this study. So that those of you who are here for the right reason will listen carefully and take heed to what you listen. There are some people that are here for protection. For protection. Protection. Because there are gifts here, there is a grace here. And by your fruit will we know you. By your actions will we know you. There are people that are in this ministry, but you are not part of this ministry. That's the truth. Praise God. And I pray that you will not be lost after coming this far. I'll continue to say it. God himself has so designed, he has made sure that no preacher knows whose name is in the book of life or not. None of us know. So it's not good to pass judgment because somebody is living 1 year life and you say this is a serpent's seed. If we say, we only say it out of anger, and there's nothing you will say that will make that person to be a serpent's seed. That's your own judgment. God knows everyone. There are some of his children that are armed robbers now. But one day God will arrest them because their names are in the book of life. That is why we continue to preach. And we continue to pray that somebody will live a life that will reflect what God is doing now. Christ himself beheld Jerusalem and wept because they could not recognize the visitation of their day. He cried because he had revelation of what is going to come upon them. He cried while they were busy looking at the beauty of the temple, priding themselves about the temple. He looked beyond and saw the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of that temple, and said, there will be no stone that will be left unturned in that beautiful thing you are priding about. Took you 49 years to build, but if you take just one day, that nonsense, that thing will go. And he wept, he cried. And I'm telling you not to be humble. That is the same kind of feeling I have for people who have found this ministry, found a way of escape, like Lot's wife, and they still live a life as if what we are saying here, we are saying it to ourselves. Because we have a revelation of what will happen to people on earth here after the rapture. Because we know there is a day of the Lord. There is a day that is called the day of vengeance. That this God that is a merciful God, and we are enjoying his mercy now, he is also a consuming fire. And when you see what the Bible says about what will happen to this earth after the rapture, then you will understand why some of us feel the way we feel when we see people joking with their eternal destination. We will continue to say it, believing that one day you will hear it, something will happen inside of you, you will get convinced, you will get convicted, and then you will feel concerned for your soul. And may that be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to Dr. Lukoya yesterday. I just flipped and I jammed him talking. So I wanted to listen to what he was saying. And he picked a text. And the text he picked was this same place we read. Romans 8 and verse 19. And he said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So I was anxious to see his understanding of that scripture. And after he explained what that scripture is, I began to thank God that he has opened my eyes of understanding. Because the truth is, everything mountain of fire we see in the scripture is deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Everything they see, manifestation of the sons of God. In case you have access to Dr. Lukoya, go and tell him the manifestation of the sons of God shall be in the millennium. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the sons of God is not now. The process that is going on now, the process of salvation, is God gathering his people. He has not manifested them yet. He is gathering them, gathering us. Then one of these days, he will cleanse the whole earth and bring us back to this earth. That is when the children of God will be manifested on earth. And somebody called, sent me a text. I was feeling very angry. I had to call him. I was very interested to know which church he belongs, because he is accusing me. Why do you call names? Why do you call names of ministers? Thereby rubbishing people. Why do you? So I say, I'm a talking preacher, not a writing preacher. So let me call this young man. Let's talk. I called him. I asked him, which church do you belong? He said he's from Deeper Life. And I told him, I said, it is because of you I speak the way I speak, to demystify those idols that you have in your heart. Who are they? Servants of God. You reverence them so much until even when they are wrong, you are afraid to point it out. They succeeded in bewitching all followers, so that even when somebody came out in Abuja and said he's making a confession, and at the end of the confession, he is telling the whole followers, because it's his followers, he cannot tell me that, I'm not his follower, that at the end of it all, he is divorcing his wife. Hey, pastor! See the difference between him in Abuja and Benihim and Oyakhilome. Oyakhilome came on air and said, the woman desired divorce, but he doesn't want it because the Bible does not permit him. Benihim came also and said, he agrees with his wife, whatever is her grievance. But he's praying and asking people to please help him talk to his wife, that she should change her mind, because the Bible will not allow him to divorce his wife. In case you are listening to me, that man in Abuja, what's that his name again? Ikinla? Listen, Ikinla, listen. Go back and reconcile with your wife. Go back. And to start with Ikinla, you were not confessing. That's no confession. There was no posture of a contrite spirit. There was no posture of a repentant heart. You were moving about from left to right, from the end of the church. In the same way you preach sermons, you cannot put that same posture when you want to make a confession of a sin you have committed. Number two, listen. Let the killer hear this, so that you will know you can bewitch your members. You cannot bewitch those of us who know the Christian faith. To start with, you will not confess. See, who? Listen, church. I'm saying this. That is why they will never like me. And I'm not looking for people to like me. People who are looking for people to like them don't talk like I talk. Listen, church. Listen and listen very well. Hallelujah. I don't have problem with the fact that you committed sin, Igila. I am looking at what you call confession. You were arrogant in your presentation of your confession. And number two, you came to make confession. You claim it is confession. The reason you are coming to confess is because you say when your wife did her own, you covered her. Now you did your own, your wife found her, and she's not ready to cover you. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That is number one. Listen, because I read it and I had comments of even some of you sitting down here today. Oh, he's a humble man of God. He's a humble man. At least he has confessed. Let me tell you, when you commit sin, it is who you have sinned against that you go to confess. You went and committed adultery. Does the church need to know that? Did you offend the church? You offended, you broke your marriage vow with your wife. You have to go before your wife. Now, listen. The only reason you will come to the altar and tell the church is because your wife has decided after all entreaties to still leave you. So the church is going to know that your wife has divorced you. So you will feel obligated to let them know why you are now without a wife. Then you can now tell them, I had issues with my wife. Like Oyakhilome made it clear that he has issues with a wife. Whatever is the issue, till today we don't know. But she said she will no longer marry me. I have tried everything. And you will have involved the elders. You will have involved everybody. You will have involved men of God that she respects. All to beg her. But you didn't. And what you did was to go and then, you were, according to you, you are covering it up. Now you decided to open it. And listen. Listen again, Igila. You went, instead of you to confess the sin you committed against your wife, you also came openly to open her own up. You are saying, she too, she did it. Is it your business to say that? Is that confession? You were coming up publicly to rubbish your wife. Because your wife is going about complaining everywhere. Now the church is about to know what is happening. So, in your arrogance, you are telling them, I will finish you. You are talking my own, Abi. I will come on air and talk your own. She too, now she first do amo. I covered her up. Then, me too, I go do am. She no agree cover me up. Therefore, make her confess. To who? And at the end, he's ending up by shouting, Holy Ghost, fire. Fire on your wife. Then you say, people like us should not talk. You went to the media to mess up the Christian faith. Some of us are also in the media to correct it. And that is what I am doing now. I repeat, go back to your wife. I reverse that divorce between you and your wife in the name of Jesus Christ. We refuse. God does not allow you to divorce. Go back and settle with your wife and come back again. Igila, you can come to Lagos and see me for counseling. You need counseling. Praise the Lord. So you come and tell me, why am I calling names? I can call the names in the Bible, but I should not call the names that are in Nigeria. But I can call the names in the Bible. Well, we call, if you know my own, call my name. And if it is true, what you are saying is true, I will repent. And if it is not true, you are lying, my God, who called me will judge you. Simple. Praise the Lord. A spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is not judged. Praise the Lord. So the young man that called me, if you're a young man, because I don't know, your voice sounded like a young man, that I'm calling him. I'm sorry, Like I told you on the phone, I have no apology. You are not looking at any doctrine I am preaching. You are only concerned that I am calling names. So that means you don't even know what we are saying here. The reason I call names is because not all Israel is of Israel. Listen, I have tried to bring this thing out in the past sermons in this series. As we take a review, because there is nothing new I am saying. We are only reviewing it and bringing out the picture clearer and clearer and clearer. Praise the Lord. God desired to have his children on earth here, and nothing will stop it. God created Adam and Eve and gave them a commission to be fruitful and do what? Multiply and do what? Replenish the earth. That itself is a sermon. That lets me know, as I've always said before, that this earth has been a testing ground for God. That is why I say, I believe that there was some form of existence, creatures that were existing in this world before Adam and Eve were created. Because if he say, replenish, because that is where we always go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form. And God cannot create a formless thing. Something happened that sent the whole world, the earth, to become void. And then a rearrangement began. The word replenish, it means something was here before, it was taken away, and now it is being restored. Replenish, replenish, replenish. Something was here before. Hallelujah. But Satan is at it again, and God allows it for his purpose. The Bible says, hallelujah, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were created. When they were created, that's all I've been trying, just run over what we are saying to get to a picture, you know. And that creation, that man, hallelujah, the creation of Adam and Eve and all that has been taking place is all but a reflection of what God is doing. A reflection. It ended with a law. And the law is a shadow of things to come. All the stories we see in the Old Testament is speaking about Christ and his church. Right from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, if you notice in verse 15, a provision for the seed of the woman was made. And that seed of the woman was not manifested until the virgin birth, thousands of years after. And that seed of the woman is referred to as the last Adam. The first Adam was lost. There has to be a replacement. The first creation was destroyed. There has to be a second creation. Adam, every one of us here, we are seed of Adam by one blood. The Bible tells us by one blood. We all came by one blood. And that one blood is the blood of Adam. All of us here, we came by one blood. One blood. Hallelujah. That's the one blood of Adam. But it's a corrupted creation. There need to be another Adam for a new creation to begin. That is the new birth. That is why you must be born again. This time, hallelujah, is to be born by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We are all product, we are all offshoot of the Lord Jesus. People did not understand what was happening on the cross on Calvary. The natural birth of a woman given birth, comes out, three things come out that complete the birth process. The first one is water that bursts out. The second one is blood. Then the third one, the life comes out. The same thing, hallelujah, just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, I said this thing for those who may be hearing it for the first time, that's why I always re-emphasize whatever you hear before. That he was put to bed, to death, when his wife was to be produced. When the Bible says you be fruitful and reproduce and replenish the earth, multiply and replenish the earth, there will be the process of that reproduction. That is why he gave us the reproductive organs, the woman to receive the seed, to produce more of Adam's, more of Adam's. The same thing also, Christ, we need a wife. So that you understand why we call ourselves the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ. A wife of Jesus Christ. That is who we are. Hallelujah. We need to understand this. And these are doctrines that this church is supposed to be so familiar with that we should sing it anywhere we go. Because we are full of that knowledge. And Adam was put to sleep to fulfill that commission. And from his side, something was brought out. Hallelujah. That God used to produce his wife. That he, Adam, would be able to pass it to him. To her. To produce, to make the commission to come to pass. The same thing, by the time he woke up, he saw a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman. Praise the Lord. And he said, now this is the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bone. She shall be called woman. But take note that that woman's name later on changed to what? Eve. Amen. Something happened that made that name to change. The last Adam also had to be put to sleep on the cross on Calvary. And when the Roman soldier was piercing his side, they didn't know that is the last Adam about to produce his wife. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Open my eyes that I may see. Hey, glimpses of you thou hast. For anointing. Please, fast and pray for understanding. It will help you. And this last Adam went to the cross. God was the one that took him there to put him to sleep. Because it was sleep. 3 days after he woke up. Hallelujah. Like Adam woke up. Amen. And what was it that came out from his side? Blood. After the blood came out, hallelujah. The first thing that came out was water. After water came out, what came out? Blood. Hallelujah. And then he gave up the ghost. Amen. He gave up the ghost. And the next thing that followed, as he gave up the ghost, the next thing that followed, he began to look for, give back to everyone whose names are written in the book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. And that book is written from the foundation of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Moses and Luke came out. Hey, Jesus. Who came out again? Who came out again? Who came out again? The church was given birth to. This is what Apostle Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25. From verse 25. Let's read it down. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He had to die to produce us, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's read on. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. As people are thinking that he's talking about just husband and wife. He was using it to explain something. Let's read on. Let's read on. Let's read on. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Let's read on. This is where I am going. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning what? Concerning what? Christ and the church. Concerning Christ and the church is a mystery. Hallelujah. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Eve is a type of the church. But he was called woman. She was called woman. Later on, the name changed to what? Talk now. If you don't know, why do you keep quiet and look at me like this? He changed from woman to what? To Eve. Eve. What is the meaning of Eve? Eh? Did Adam's name change? Because he's not the father of all living. Something happened. Hallelujah. Something happened, oh, that her identity was changed. I speak concerning, I'm not speaking concerning Adam and Eve. I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. That is a mystery. The church of Jesus Christ, something has happened as it happened in the Garden of Eden. So it is again. Now, there is a mix-up. There is a mix-up. Praise the Lord. That is the mystery. Hallelujah. And Christ himself gave us that in a parable in Matthew 13 from verse 24 of the wheat and the tares. The wheat was planted. Hallelujah. The owner of the farm, Adam, planted his seed while he went to sleep. That woman again. Hallelujah. That woman. Praise the Lord. Did you hear one woman saying, ma? You see their problem?
Did you hear one sister here shouting, "Ma, pastor, why you shout only woman? Ma, okay, what did Adam do? Because he went to sleep, he should not sleep. That's the only offense Adam committed. He went to sleep. The serpent could not near his wife when he was there. While the apostles were around, this false spirit could not come to the church. They can't try it. Apostle Paul was there to finish them. While men slept, the enemy went to the same farm and planted Cain there. In the same church, the womb of Eve. Therefore, the identity of the church changed. While the apostles were still alive, Ananias and Sapphira came to give lying testimony. What happened? They died. They died. But it's a mystery. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Apostle Paul said, "But the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It's a mystery. Why is it a mystery? It's a mystery because, hallelujah, hallelujah, how is it possible that a woman, a church, that liars were afraid to come, sinners were afraid to come, now men and women who claim to be Christians are swimming in sin and anointing is increasing? It is a mystery. It's a mystery. Pastors are having children out of wedlock and anointing is increasing. It's a mystery. Apostles are having girlfriends and anointing is increasing. It's a mystery. Arranging prophecies are going on in the name of the Lord. Arranging miracles are going on in the name of the Lord. Familiar spirits were following Apostle Paul one day. Apostle Paul rebuked the spirit. But now familiar spirits are general overseers of the church of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church, Pharisees and Sadducees, including Herod, including all of them, the leaders, political leaders of the time of the apostles, detested the apostles because truth and evil, good and evil cannot come together. No, no, no. But these days, occult politicians, corrupt politicians, wicked politicians, they are members of churches and they are sponsoring churches with evil money, blood money. Amen. Somebody told me that somebody was complaining that this is your pastor who would have supported that ministry, but every time he'll be laying course. And I was jumping up. I said, "It is working. It is working. It is working." Ah, I didn't know this is why they do it. They get work. Don't bring anything like that here. I love you. That's what I'm telling you. You didn't bring it. Rain the Peter's naive, rain the fourth here. Who told you God sent me to come and build a building? So building this church is an achievement for me, Abby. I know better than that now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.